If you are unable to make this time, please send a note to mnhowlive@gmail.com. The audio portion of this meeting is being recorded. Please visit our website at mnhowlive@gmail.com. The audio, and you can find the audio portion there. To open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation for those who wish to join us in saying the Serenity Prayer. God
grant me the serenity to accept
the things
the wisdom to know the difference, thy will, not mine, be done.
Amen.
I assume that I am not alone this evening, but for the record, are there any other compulsive overeaters at this meeting other than myself?
Oh, right here. Woo-hoo!
Yes, right here.
We're here.
Please use the meeting's chat function as a virtual We Care book and enter your first name, phone number, times available for calls, and whether or not you are currently a sponsor in the HOW format. We will then add you to the We Care book that is being circulated in the room. A copy of this list can be sent to you via email after the meeting. Overeaters Anonymous is the fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and mutual support, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. Though there are no dues or fees for members, we are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. Will someone please read What is HOW?
Hi, I'm Sheila, a compulsive overeater.
Hey, Sheila, welcome.
Hi, Sheila.
Thank you.
Hi, Sheila, welcome.
What is HOW? HOW is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous whose basic principle is that abstinence is the only means to freedom from compulsive overeating and the beginning of a spiritual life. Where and why did HOW begin? HOW began in Phoenix in 1981 as a means of reviving a group called OA Victorious. Its meeting's format is taken from Roseanne's book, I Put My Hand in Yours, and centers around the concept of service. Many of the questions asked in HOW sponsoring stem from OA Plus and Westminster groups. The outline of service came from the OA Suffolk County, New York Sponsors Guide. And I'll pass.
Thanks, Sheila. Would someone please read the only requirement?
Hi, I'm Heidi, a recovering compulsive overeater.
Hi, Heidi.
Hi, Heidi. Welcome.
Thank you. The only requirement, Overeaters Anonymous respects the autonomy of each OA group. We do suggest, however, that any group that has requirements in addition to the suggested 12 steps and 12 traditions inform its members that these requirements are what that particular group has found effective in working the program and do not represent OA as a whole. The members of this group have found the HOW concept to be effective in working the OA program. The opinions expressed here this evening by those who share are their own and not necessarily those of OA. The Board of Trustees states, we understand the third tradition to mean that individual ways of working one's program should not exclude any compulsive overeater from attendance and participation at OA meetings anywhere, anytime. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Anyone who says he or she is a member is a member. We of Overeaters Anonymous welcome all members with open arms. Thank you.
Thank you, Heidi.
Thanks, Heidi.
Thanks, Heidi.
Would someone please read the HOW concept?
Hello, this is Michelle C., compulsive overeater.
Hi, Michelle.
The how concept. The Overeaters Anonymous meetings have been formed to offer the compulsive overeater who accepts the 12 steps and 12 traditions as a program of recovery, a disciplined and structured approach. How groups are formed in the belief that our disease is absolute and that only absolute acceptance of the OA program will offer any sustained abstinence to those of us whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, we accept the 9 tools of the program and the 12 steps and 12 traditions as necessary for recovery. In OA How, our daily action plan is outlined in the structure of each of the other tools. Our meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. This is the how of the program. We pray that the collective group conscience and the love that these ideals offer will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us. And that the how ideals will help us to progress in our program of recovery on a daily basis. To be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and in the daily adherence to the program as it is written in our literature. The Tuesday evening meeting also firmly understands that after our recovery has begun through abstinence and the taking of the first 3 steps, our further surrender to additional steps of recovery offer us a promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. We ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive overeating by being forever aware that God is doing for us what we have never been able to do by ourselves. May God, as each of us understands Him, open our minds and our hearts to the love which is manifested on these meetings. Amen. With that, I pass.
Thanks, Michelle. Would someone please read an excerpt from step 2 of the OA 12 and 12?
I'm Jane, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Jane.
Hi, Jane. Welcome. I'm actually reading Reflections for the Newcomer, if that's okay.
Yeah, Reflections. Okay, perfect.
Welcome to OA How. We are all so glad that you have decided to become a part of our fellowship. You know that the How concept is a disciplined program. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning your sponsor at a particular time, of attending meetings and making phone calls, all lead to a life based on the universal discipline, which is accord rather than discord, even with many things going on around us. Therefore, if there is a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is threatened, as is the individual's abstinence. We have found that the discipline must remain as constant for the beginner as for the sponsor. If the newcomer shies away from this life's responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer's time slot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many who think they should recover, in fact, are not ready. If the newcomer should show lack of commitment, the sponsor may then offer the newcomer assistance in finding a new sponsor. The rationale here is, if the newcomer insists on picking up the food before the phone, then there is a breakdown in the level of communication between the sponsor and the newcomer. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. Doctor's opinion, Big Book, page XXV1. If a sponsor slips, get a new one. The pitfalls of self-deception cannot be overstressed if you are to recover. Therefore, a sponsor, in all self-honesty, must release all sponsees to continue his own recovery. A sponsor cannot give what he does not experience. Finally, you must believe that we need each other. All problems that arise can be worked on via the phone or person-to-person contact. Only positive, upbeat recovery belongs at our meetings. A body badly burned by alcohol does not often recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is a most powerful restorative. Good luck. Everyone in the fellowship is praying that you find the release from the obsession so many of us have. God bless, and no matter what, keep coming back. We'll always be here for you.
Thanks. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you, Jane.
Thanks, Jane.
All right, now we will take an excerpt from step two of the OA 12 and 12. There you are. Hi, Alyssa.
Hi, this is Alyssa, food addict. I'm sorry.
Yeah, my mistake.
Hi, Alyssa.
Welcome. Yeah.
Hey. Hi, Alyssa.
Hey, Alyssa. excerpt from step two of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, pages 9 to 11, starting at paragraph 2. When we look with complete honesty in our lives, we see that where eating is concerned, we have acted in an extremely irrational and self-destructive manner. Under the compulsion to overeat, many of us have done things no sane person would think of doing. We have driven miles in the dead of night to satisfy a craving for food. We have eaten food that was frozen, burnt, stale, or even dangerously spoiled. We have eaten food off of other people's plates, off the floor, off the ground. We have dug food out of the garbage and eaten it. We have frequently lied about what we have eaten, lied to others because we didn't want to face the truth ourselves. We have stolen food from our friends, family, and employers, as well as from the grocery store. We have also stolen money to buy food. We have eaten beyond the point of being full, beyond the point of being sick of eating. We have continued to overeat, knowing all the while we were disfiguring and maiming our bodies. We have isolated ourselves to eat, damaging our relationships and denying ourselves a full social life. For the sake of our compulsive eating, we have turned ourselves into objects of ridicule and we have destroyed our health. Then, horrified by what we were doing to ourselves with food, we became obsessed with diets. We spent hundreds of dollars on weight loss schemes. We bought all sorts of appetite control drugs. We joined diet clubs and spas. We had ourselves hypnotized and analyzed. We had major surgery on our digestive systems. We had our ears stapled or our jaws wired shut. All of this we did willingly, hoping we could someday have our cake and eat it too. Some of us went from doctor to doctor looking for a cure. The doctors gave us diets, but we had no better success with those than with the other diets we'd been on. The doctors gave us shots and pills. Those worked for a while, but we inevitably lost control and overate again, putting back on the weight we had worked so hard to lose. Many of us tried fasting, with and without a doctor's supervision. Usually we lost weight, but as soon as we started eating again, the compulsive eating behavior returned, along with the weight. Some of us learned to purge ourselves with vomiting, laxatives, or excess exercise. We'd stuff food in our mouths until we were in physical pain, then we'd get rid of it. We damaged our digestive systems and our teeth while we starved our bodies of nutrients needed to live. Those of us who were overweight got plenty of advice from others about how to get to our ideal size, but nothing permanently solved our problem. We found that no matter what we did to ease our turmoil, our compulsive eating eventually returned. Over the long haul, our weight went up and our self-esteem went down. After a while, we became battle-weary and discouraged. Still, we could never accept our powerlessness. The prospect of being obese, sick, and out of control for the rest of our lives led some of us to conclude that life was simply not worth living. Many of us thought about suicide. Some of us tried it. Most of us, however, never reached suicidal desperation. Instead, we took comfort in a feeling that everything was all right as long as we got enough to eat. The only trouble was that as our compulsive eating progressed, it became harder for us to get enough. Instead of bringing comfort, the overeating backfired. The more we ate, the more we suffered, yet we continued to overeat. Our true insanity could be seen in the fact that we kept on trying to find comfort in excess food long after it began to cause us misery. Pass.
Thank you, Alyssa.
Thank you, Alyssa. Would someone please read from chapter 5 of the book Alcoholics Anonymous, How It Works?
Maura.
Yeah, let's see if I can unmute.
Oh, there you are. You're muted. Can you unmute? There you are.
All right, there we are.
All right, hi, Laura.
Hi, thank you. My name's Laura. I'm a compulsive overeater from Marquette, Michigan.
Hi, Laura. Hi, Laura, welcome.
Okay. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those too who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these, we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol. It's cunning, baffling, and powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And if you don't have someone for that, I got the book and I can keep going.
Thank you, Laura. Would someone please read the 12 steps of recovery? Is there someone signed up?
Yes, there is.
Okay, here's someone. Thank you, Laura. Mm-hmm. Who's going to read the 12 steps of recovery?
Cheryl.
There you are.
This is Cheryl. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Cheryl.
Okay. I thought somebody else volunteered, so I was sitting back saying, okay. I'm Cheryl, a compulsive overeater. Really new to this program. I've been in OA for years. And
hi, Cheryl. Welcome.
Yes, I'm from New Mexico. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Turn the page. Number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Number six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Number seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. We tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaim, we are, what an order. I can't go through with it. Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is they are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles We have set down our guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you, Cheryl. Thanks, Cheryl.
Would someone please read the 12 traditions of this program?
Hello, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Tamara. Welcome.
Hi, Tamara. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, Tamara. Welcome.
12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each OA group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass.
Thank you, Tamara. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous are a program of recovery. Webster's Dictionary defines tool as any person or thing used to get something done. We have many tools of the program which will help us recover on a daily basis. Tools are essential to get the job done, and they work for us. In order for a tool to work, it must be used.
No way.
It's true.
No.
So too with our tools of recovery. I will ask that house sponsors explain how they use a particular tool with a limit of 3 minutes for each tool. Would someone be willing to be the timekeeper? Who's signing up for that? I don't see any hands raised.
Heather. I can do it, Sharon. This
Heather.
Is, okay,
thank you,
great.
Heather. Thank you, Heather. Heidi. Is it Heather or Heidi? Heather. Okay, great. Heather will be our timekeeper. Thank you. Abstinence. Well, let's see. Participants will receive timing prompts via chat. Abstinence plan of eating.
Hi, my name is Carrie. I'm a compulsive overeater from Minnesota.
Hi, Carrie.
Carrie, welcome.
Hi, Carrie, welcome.
Hello.
Tool is plan of eating. A food plan is a commitment to recovery. The how disciplines were designed for food addicted people. We believe in a disciplined and structured approach. How abstainers do not modify their food plan to suit themselves and commit themselves to black and white abstinence. Deviations invite the return of many other problems. A food plan is not a personal thing in how. This means that we depend on each other for strength and growth that we need to remain abstinent. We join together in an effort to free the compulsive overeater from bondage of food through the use of a food plan, positive thinking, 12 steps, 12 traditions, and the 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We eat weighed and measured meals with nothing between except sugar-free beverages and sugar-free gum, unless they become a problem. Food is written down, called into our sponsor, and committed so that we can get on with our recovery and out of the food. We also believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease, so we abstain from negative thinking. Those of us who work the HOW program concepts use the following guidelines for food plans. We do not write our own food plan. We use a food plan given to us by a doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian. We discuss it with our sponsor. We do not pick one that allows any of our binge food. If some food is on our plan and becomes a problem, we avoid it. Unless approved by a sponsor, we do not skip meals, switch meals, or combine meals. We do not deviate or manipulate our food plan in any way. If you need to change your committed food during the day, we call our sponsor. We weigh and measure food, measure all our portions so that there is no guesswork. We do not measure by eye. We use a measuring cup, spoon, and scale. Okay, so I have an abstinent kit, and my abstinent kit, my main thing is the scale, and I don't have a manual scale. If somebody's using a manual scale, they'll just have to YouTube video it to figure out how to use it. But this digital scale is what I use. I became obsessed, and so I bought like a bunch of different kinds. This is my go out to eat digital scale I got from Amazon. And these are the measuring cups that I use. You're either a stuffer or a fluffer. So if you stuff, do it the same all the time. If you fluff, do it the same all the time. Everything that's in this cup is ours. Anything that is around the cup is not ours. We don't lick the sides or anything like that. I use a lot of like peanut butter or oil or whatever. So what I do is I scoop my peanut butter out and then I level it off with a straight edge. And then I take my little small tool and get it all out of there and then put it on my toast. If it's in here, then I can lick this if it's clean and doesn't have anything else on it. So, all right. So that's what I use for weighing and measuring. I have this is my Nalgene bottle, which is 32 ounces. So we have to drink 64 ounces of water every day. And so two of these equals one, or enough water for the day. I've got my vitamins. I take one multivitamin a day. My phone, I use this phone. I've got a lot of numbers that are saved into my phone. I also use Telegram quite a bit. Telegram has been a lifesaver because a lot of times when I don't have time to make my phone calls to the end of the day, then I just post on there and then people call me. One thing that's really like, it's not really in the abstinent kit, but this is dishwasher pods. I use my dishwasher constantly. I think I'm very grateful for my dishwasher. In my abstinent kit also, I have the big book and then the 12 and 12. These are our two main readings.
2 minutes.
Okay. I think that's it. I don't think I missed anything. I also like bring, if I go out to eat, I also bring a backup meal. So maybe like tuna or something where I can, like if they don't have something, then I can have, then I can use what's in my abstinence kit in my bag. Okay, so we weigh ourselves once a month until we reach goal weight, and once a week on maintenance. Unless advised by your doctor, we take a multivitamin and drink 64 ounces of water a day. We do not drink alcohol. We do not use foods containing sugar, except if sugar is fifth or beyond on the ingredient label. Above all, we do not vacillate or water down the discipline nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that counts, it's the decision to take it. Okay, so this week I am glad that I have the tools of the program because I am just going through the motions. I really am not in the mood to do the program, but I am staying with the program because I am promised relief if I stick with the actions of this program. But really, honestly, I don't really feel like it this week, but I'm sticking to it because it works, and it's been a journey, and it's not always, like, I've been in the program for about 7 months, and it's not always easy, and I'm grateful for those people who have been in it a lot longer too, because I can call them and they've gone through the same emotions that that come up as well. It's just good to have other fellows, especially I live by myself. I have a dog, but it gets really lonely being in isolation, and I think that's part of kind of the apathy that I'm feeling this week. But anyway, glad to have the tools of that we use for eating, and I'm going to stick with it because if we work it works. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Carrie.
Thanks Carrie.
Thank you. Sponsorship.
Hey, this is Megan in Virginia, and I'm going to do sponsorship.
Megan. Megan, welcome.
Okay, sponsorship. I've got to read on my phone because I can't do both on my iPad. It doesn't work as well as the computer, so excuse me for looking away. Sponsors are OA members who are committed to abstinence and to living the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of their ability. We ask a sponsor to guide us through our program of recovery on all three levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. And working with other members of OA and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own sobriety. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their own experience. Ours is a program of attraction. Find a sponsor who has what you want and then ask how it was achieved. A member may work with more than one sponsor and may change sponsors at will. A OA house sponsor is a compulsive overeater who has completed at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and who has taken the first three steps of the program. Sponsors have also completed at least 70 days of assignments. Reflections to the sponsor, suggestions for discussion. No list of reflections and meditations are end-alls and be-alls for the newcomer. A sponsor must be attentive not only to what the new person is saying, but also to what the newcomer is not saying. There are many newcomers who are reticent to purchase books, who are hesitant to throw themselves headlong into the program. Therefore, we have a list of pre-commitment assignments. Above all, do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that is the problem. It is the decision to have it that results in some trouble. The HOW concept is an alternative for people who have tried everything else. Therefore, the program is an immutable triumvirate of tools, steps, and traditions. Using the tools of weighing and measuring our food, sponsors, meetings, phone calls, reading and writing, service, and anonymity, we follow the 12 steps and 12 traditions of OA in order to free ourselves from the bondage of food addiction. Sponsors do not have the right to play God. We help each other. So again, this is Megan in Virginia. Grateful to be here with everybody tonight. Really, really grateful we have a meeting tonight. I had to laugh because in the middle of reading that, a notification came down over my phone with a sponsee making a food change. So we use our sponsors for a couple different things in this program. Number one, every morning I call my sponsor and I commit what I'm going to eat today in specific weighed and measured portions. If something happens during the day, like just happened with my sponsee and happened with me this afternoon at lunch, I needed to make a food change. And I will then generally I will text my sponsor first. If she gets back to me right away, I just move forward. And if not, I make two more calls to other sponsors because I don't make my own decisions around food anymore. I get feedback before I proceed. My sponsor also listens to my reading and writing every morning, which is primarily the way we work the steps is through the reading and writing assignments. And the sponsor is there as a witness and to give feedback or maybe reflect on patterns that they're hearing, or maybe something that I'm not picking up on. You know, Jesus came up last week in another situation. It was the same character defect or the same fear. Because I don't always hear the disease in myself. I think we hear it in each other better. I can recognize it in somebody else before I can recognize it in myself, if that makes sense. So my sponsor does that. And then my sponsor is the witness to hold me accountable. I need accountability. Oh, was that time? I'm sorry, I might have missed a cue. Anyway, I need accountability and sponsors provide accountability. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Megan.
Thank you, Megan.
Thanks, Megan.
Thanks, Megan.
Will all sponsors, Hal and OA, please join me in sharing the following. How long in OA and how? How long abstinent in OA and how? How much weight lost or gained? This is not a time for sharing for sponsors. Please keep it brief and no applauding between sponsors. If they wish to, sponsors can announce that they have an opening for a sponsee and provide their home numbers. Sponsors are invited to share by starting your video and clicking the raised hand button on the participants panel or pressing *9 on your phone, or just start your video. When it is your turn to share, you will hear your name and your audio will be unmuted. Following your share, please turn off your video as the meeting moderator remutes your line. So Megan, will you start us off? And I'll finish us up.
Thank you. Absolutely. Hi, this is Megan in Virginia. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm an OA house sponsor. My back-to-back abstinence date is June 8th of 2015. I've given away about 85 to 90 pounds in program twice. I'm a relapse survivor. I've also had an abstinent pregnancy. This is Megan in Virginia, and I pass.
Jane.
Hi, this is Jane in Vancouver Island, Canada, compulsive overeater. I have been in the HOW program for 6.5 months. Before that, I joined OA, I think 7 or 8 years ago. I am a HOW sponsor, and with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Tamara.
Hello, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater in Minnesota. I came into traditional OA in January of 2016, heard about the HOW program, and became abstinent April 3rd of 2017. Because of the miracles of this program, I've been relieved of 97 pounds from my top weight, and with over 75 pounds lost in the HOW program, my recommitment date is December 1st of 2019, and that I pass. Thank you.
Sheila.
Hi, I'm Sheila, a compulsive overeater. I came directly to HOW in May of 2015. My abstinence date's May 19th of 2015, and I have been relieved of over 90 pounds.
Kelly.
Hi, my name is Kelly. I'm a compulsive overeater from Pennsylvania. I have been working at HOW 2-hour program since December of last year, 2019. My abstinence date was a few weeks before that, November 14th. I have so far lost about 30 pounds and headed towards maintenance. And I am available as a temporary sponsor or to help someone new get started. Thank you.
Mary.
Good evening. This is Mary G., compulsive overeater I came into OA in Western Massachusetts in the spring of 2004. We moved here in October 2012. My first meeting was on Halloween. Became abstinent the next day, and I've lost and maintained 75 pounds.
Heidi.
Hi, my name's Heidi. I'm a compulsive overeater. I came directly into HOW in October of 2007. I lost 150 pounds and kept it off for almost 7 years, and I chose to leave the program. I came back a few years later, 110 pounds heavier, and my abstinence state currently is July 26th of last year, and I'm down 65 pounds.
Lewis.
My name is Lewis. I'm paralysis over food from Maryland. I came directly into OA HOW in March of 2006, and then I went out and did a ton of research, and my back-to-back abstinence state is January 3rd of last year, and I've surrendered, by the grace of God, 80 pounds from my top weight.
Heather.
Hi, everyone. Good evening. My name is Heather. I'm in Texas, and I'm a 2-hour OA House sponsor. I came in the program in August 2019. My back-to-back abstinence date is December 23rd, 2019. I'm 35 pounds down from my top weight, 25 pounds up from my low weight. I am a sponsor. I do have an opening at 7:45 a.m. Central Time. My phone number is 713-416-3800, but I'll also leave this in the chat. Thanks.
Debbie.
Hi, my name is Debbie. I'm a compulsive overeater. I came to the rooms of OA in February of 2005. I started working the HOW concept in October of 2006. My current abstinence date is October 12th, 2018, and I am down over 100 pounds, and I pass.
Kathy.
Hello, this is Kathy C. I'm a compulsive overeater from Chicago. I started HOW in May of 2007. My recommitment abstinence date is November 19th of 2019. I'm maintaining a 75 to 80 pound weight loss. Pass.
Rosemary.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry about that. I'm Rosemary F. from Minneapolis. I began HOW in April of 2005 after somebody else had gently 12-stepped me for a year and a half to come into the program. I have my last back-to-back abstinence date was February 25th of 2019. I have been removed of about 70 pounds through the grace of this program and been maintaining that most of the 14 years that I've been in the program.
Laura.
Hi, my name's Laura. I'm from Marquette, Michigan, and I received the gift of abstinence in the 2-hour OA HOW rooms on May 23rd, 2005, been maintaining a 60-pound weight loss. Thank you.
Anyone else?
I'll go. This is Jody. I'm Jody M. in Minnesota, and I first entered the room of HOW in November 2009. My current back-to-back abstinence date is November 10th, 2019, and I've been relieved of roughly 100 pounds. Pass.
Hi, my name is Carrie. I'm calling from Minnesota. I came into the rooms of HOW on September 22nd. I am a compulsive over and under eater. I've been relieved of 30 pounds since I joined the program, 39 since my top weight. And I had one relapse, and I can't remember when it was, but I am a sponsor now.
Erlinda.
Hi, everyone. It's Erlinda from Chicago, 2-hour OA HOW sponsor. My back-to-back abstinence date is February 11, 2019, and I've been relieved of 63 pounds. Thank you, and I do not have an opening at this time. I pass.
Sharon.
Hi, I'm Sharon R.S., Out of Options Recovered Compulsive Overeater from Minnesota. I have been in OA since 1991. I've been abstinent in house since December 1st, 2001, and I'm down about 40 pounds. Anyone else?
Anyone on the phone?
This is Jackie from Wisconsin. Came to my first meeting spring of 2015, didn't come back until spring of 2016. May 30th of 2016 is my abstinence date. I'm down 115 pounds from my top weight. 88 of that has been in house.
Anyone else on the phone? All right. All right. Thank you. We should remember that all OAs have clay feet. We should not set any member upon a pedestal and mark him or her out as a perfect OA. It is not fair to the person to be singled out in this fashion, and if the person is wise, she or he will not wish it. If the person we single out as an ideal OA has a fall, we are in danger of falling too. Without exception, we are all only one bite away from a binge. No matter how long we've been in OA or how, nobody is entirely safe. OA itself should be our ideal, not any particular member of it. Anonymity.
Hi, my name is Debbie, and I am a compulsive overeater.
Hey, Debbie. Welcome.
Anonymity is a tool as well as a tradition because it guarantees that we will place principles before personality. It offers each of us freedom of expression and protection against gossip. Anonymity assures us that only we as individual OA members have the right to make our membership known within our community. Anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication means that we never allow our faces or last names to be used once we identify ourselves as OA members. Within the fellowship, anonymity means that whatever we share with another OA member will be held in respect and confidence. What we hear at meetings should remain there. It should be understood, however, that anonymity must not be used to limit our effectiveness within the fellowship. It is not a break of anonymity to give our names and addresses to the secretary of our group or to other service offices of OA for the purpose of conducting OA business, which is primarily 12-step work. It is likewise not a break of anonymity to enlist 12-step help for group members in trouble, provided we are careful to omit specific personal information. If their disease has reactivated and we persist in protecting their anonymity, we may in effect help kill them and their anonymity. Anonymity is the part of the program that allows each of us to stand in front of our fellows and to share for the first time, honestly, who we are, where we have been, and where we hope to go, without fear that our story will be told outside these rooms. For many of us, the OA rooms are the first place where we have no fear being judged or criticized. We are accepted as we are at that moment. This is the first time for most of us that we experience sharing where we are not told what we did wrong. We come into OA at rock bottom, mangled emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We are supported back to health with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We are encouraged to speak of our pain, and we are lovingly told, your secrets are safe. Come share our recovery on a threefold level, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Lastly, a word to newcomers. Please join us. However, if you decide that our program is not for you, please remember that our anonymity allows us to grow and recover from a very serious disease. Who you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here.
Here.
For me, anonymity is the reason I'm still around. I'm not a trusting person at all. I have some pretty big trust issues. And knowing that I can come into these rooms and whatever I say, whatever secrets I share with you all, whether it's on an outreach call or here in a meeting doing a pitch, I know that it's not going anywhere. And that's been proven to me time and time and time again. And I'm so very grateful because that allows me then to look inside and to myself and to figure out who that authentic person is inside me. And I don't have to wear different personalities for different people. And you know, when I was working at one of my previous jobs, I used to have to go talk to donors and funders, and they were all cocktail party situations and stuff. And I'd always have to take a deep breath before I went into the room and turn myself on because I needed to be a certain kind of person. And when I come into these rooms, I don't have to do that. I don't have to, I can just be me. I can just relax. I can be myself. And I can say what's really hard to say, but what I need to say. And that's very valuable to me. So I am grateful that you are here with me tonight, and I will pass.
Thanks, Thank you, Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Telephone calls.
We have Christina signed up. I can see her.
Someone else? Heidi?
Yeah, go ahead, Heidi.
I can do it.
Okay, thank you, Heidi.
Hi, I'm Heidi, a compulsive overeater, and I'm going to do the tulip telephone.
Hey, Heidi, welcome.
Thank you. The telephone, compulsive overeating, is a disease of isolation. The telephone is a means of communicating with another compulsive overeater between meetings. It provides an immediate outlet for those hard-to-handle highs and lows we all experience. The telephone is also a daily link to our sponsors and, as part of the surrender process, is a tool by which we learn to ask for help, reach out, and extend that same help to others. In how we are asked to make at least 4 telephone calls a day, 1 to our sponsor and 3 more to other OA members. These calls give us an opportunity to talk program on a daily basis. The telephone is our lifeline. And I was just talking to somebody the other day saying how grateful I am that this has been a requirement for all these years. And we kind of say it's a fire drill for when we really need to reach somebody. And just now having, at least in the state that I live in, we're all working from home at my place of business and we're asked to shelter in place and stay in. And clearly we're on this Zoom meeting because we don't have any in-person meetings right now as a necessity. And I'm grateful that I don't have to scramble to try and find people and reach out to people. excuse me. I have people already listed in my phone. I put an O at the beginning of everybody's name in the program. So if I'm looking for somebody, I just can type an O in my contacts and everybody from the program shows up in my contacts. And I just can go down the list and I can be a service to call somebody. When I first came to the program, I thought, I don't want to bother anybody. And, you know, I remember the day when I was like, okay, they require this. I don't care. People say anytime, I'm calling anytime. If they don't want me to, they can change their notes on the page. I just really have taken it as a lifeline, especially this time where they're encouraging us to isolate. And for me, that is not always a great thing. And so I can be separate, but not alone during this time. And the telephone is a huge way for me to do that. I think I have a minute. I'm just going to read out of the book Alcoholics Anonymous on page 344. it said, it talks about this, somebody went to a meeting and says, people gave me their phone numbers and urged me to call, to pick up the telephone instead of a drink, or for me, it would be anything not on my food plan. They were warm and friendly. They said, keep coming back. And I get that when I call people. I am never disappointed that I call someone. Sometimes I'm disappointed that I didn't pick up the phone and call someone, but I'm always uplifted when I call and talk to somebody. Even if I end up not getting a chance to share, I'm grateful that I can be of service and listen to somebody else. And usually on our calls, it goes both ways. I listen to the other person and really listen, not just, you know, doing something else in the background while they're talking. I'm listening to them and I'm hearing them and I'm letting them know that I hear them and they're doing the same for me. And it's really been an invaluable tool for me that I'm grateful for. I hope that you give me a call and I will be looking for you under my O's and my contacts as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Heidi.
Thanks, Heidi.
Thank you, Heidi. Meetings.
Hi, I'm Kelly.
Hi, Kelly.
Compulsive overeater.
Hey, Kelly, welcome.
Hi, everybody. Meetings. Meetings are gatherings of two or more compulsive eaters who come together to share their experience before and after recovery and share the strength and hope OA has given them. Meetings are an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problem by relating to one another and sharing the gifts we receive through this program. We find that being on time for meetings enhances our recovery and provides service to the meeting. Though there are many kinds of meetings, fellowship is the basis of them all. As HOW members, we attend at least one HOW meeting a week. Meetings are how I found this wonderful fellowship. I went to traditional OA for many, many years, and I kind of found that the format jumped all over the place. Some of them had more structure. Some were very much almost like support groups instead of recovery groups. And I kind of lost my way. I found myself, you know, just going to meetings to let things go and to complain a lot about the place I was in. To be honest, I can't remember how I found OA HOW meetings, but I knew right away it was different. I heard structure. I heard focus. I heard recovery. I heard a sponsor line of so many wonderful people that I couldn't even believe that we were all in one place, you know, all in one place. And I was immediately attracted to all of your stories and all of your recoveries. The meeting format that we have, I am so thankful for it because I know what to expect. It's very straightforward. It reminds me every time I come here of exactly what I need to do. And I need that. I need it so much. I need to remember what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. And that is what all of you do when you read the tools, when you read the steps, when you tell your stories, I am reminded why I'm here. I really like how there's not a whole lot of free form in our meetings because that makes me rely even more on the phone calls. That's how I get to know people. That's how we share stories with each other. So there's a place and a time for everything, and meetings just help me focus. It's a wonderful way to really remember exactly what my program is about and what I need to do in order to keep it and also to give it away. So I'm so thankful for all of you here. I kind of feel like we are pioneers because the wonderful people who set up this meeting had Zoom long before quarantine, and now lots of other meetings are on Zoom too, and I feel a little bit like a front runner. But I love seeing everyone's faces, and I love hearing your voices, and I'm just so thankful for all of you. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
literature and writing.
Hello, everyone. Nancy D., compulsive overeater.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. Welcome.
And much like my fellow Megan said, my iPad, I can't look at this and read, so forgive me for looking away. So tools 6 and 7, literature and writing. Literature, we study the textbook, Alcoholics Anonymous, referred to as the Big Book, and the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, another AA book to reinforce our program. By substituting the words food and compulsive eating for the words alcohol and alcoholism, we can identify closely. We also read OA literature, the OA book, Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the Brown Book, the OA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, For Today, For Daily Meditation, and Lifeline, our Journal of Recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses on us certain basic truths that we have found vital to our growth. Our literature and the AA books are an ever available tool that gives insight in our problems as well as the strength to deal with it and the very real hope that there is a solution for us. In writing, in addition to our writing, our inventories and the list of people we have harmed, most of us have found that writing has been an indispensable tool for working the steps. Further putting our thoughts and feelings down on paper or describing a troubling incident helps us to better understand our actions and reactions in a way that is often not revealed to us simply thinking or talking about it. In the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. When we put our difficulties down on paper, it becomes easier to see situations more clearly and perhaps better discern our necessary action. Again, Nancy P., compulsive overeater. This is indeed one of the tools, like we heard earlier, that will absolutely not work unless we use it. And I'm thankful this evening because I can say that I, with a surety, have used this tool and it absolutely works. I am, as of recent, and I've talked to a couple fellows about it, I work for a local school district and we provide childcare for the first responders, the students that are in our district. And my number has come up to help with the daycare facilities. And I know that I was mentioning to one of my fellows that, you know, in theory, you know, when I was in my inventories being thankful for the responders, and now that it's, as I said, my number's been called, it was very troubling for me. I was like, oh, it's easy to be at home and, you know, to read about what's going on with the COVID, you know, with the pandemic that's occurring right now. And I'm just thankful. And I say all that to say that I am thankful for the tool of literature and writing, because I was able to find comfort in our literature, and also being able to write down the troubling incident. I was saying I didn't want to do it. And, you know, as I began to write further, pray, talk to fellows, I realized that it truly is an opportunity for service. And it won't occur until next week. And again, I'm fearful. I will say that I am, but nonetheless, I'm thankful for an opportunity to be of service. And I was able to come to that conclusion from not merely just thinking about it, griping about it, being upset about it, but writing it down and just to see it more clearly. So again, this truly, as I said, has been and is a tool that has worked for me, and it's given me comfort and also just an opportunity to see things more clearly and work things out and just to stay away from the food. And I'm thankful for that. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Nancy.
Thanks, Nancy.
Yeah, thank you, Nancy. Service.
Pearls Over Food. My name is Lewis from Maryland.
Hi, Lewis. Hey, welcome.
Lewis. Welcome.
Service, carrying the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers is the basic purpose of our fellowship and therefore the most fundamental form of service. Any service, no matter how small, that will help reach a fellow sufferer adds to the quality of our own recovery. Putting away chairs, making coffee, talking to newcomers, doing whatever needs to be done in a group or for OA as a whole are ways in which we give back what we have so generously been given. Do what you can when you can. A life of sane and happy usefulness is what we are promised as a result of working the 12 steps. Service fulfills that promise. Always to extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share my compulsion. For this, I am responsible. Service has taken on an entirely different meaning to me during this whole quarantine pandemic period. I found out that I was getting unemployed right before, you know, the shelter in place orders came through. And so all of a sudden I became unemployed and I was in quarantine, self-quarantine. And I was sitting in a lot of unstructured time with a lot of very intense feelings. And one of the things that this tool gave me was stability. That it is something that I can focus on, and it is something that I can do and not react to my feelings, so that I can actually provide value and do something that is for the benefit of others. How this has happened, and especially, it's been especially important here at home. I'm living with a wife and two kids, and they're also going through a very similar period of uncertainty as well, and they need somebody stable. So performing service in the program, working the tools and working the steps and opening myself up to others and receiving feedback from others, all are forms of service, and they have given me the stability despite my unstable feelings. So I'm very, very grateful for this tool, and it's really transformed my program in many ways recently. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lewis.
Thank you, Lewis. Will all people doing service in OA at any level please stand and applaud service?
Yay, service!
The Minnesota OA How Live meeting is a friendly place, and we want to get to know each other. If you are attending for the first time, please turn on your video and unmute your line or press star 6 on your telephone's keypad and introduce yourself by first name only and where you are from. If you would like to receive phone calls, please give us your phone number, time zone, and the best time to call.
Hi, everybody. My name is Nicholas. I'm calling from New York, from Long Island, New York. And I'm recommitting to the program for the last 5 or 6 days now. And I don't know, my video is muted for some reason. I don't know why it is, but I would like to receive phone calls, and my number is 347-804-6952.
Hi, Nicholas. Welcome.
Hi, Nicholas. Welcome to the meeting.
Hi, this is Donna. I'm a compulsive eater, and that's it.
Hi, Donna. Welcome.
Hi, Donna. Welcome. Leva in Sarasota, Florida, new to this meeting, and I would like phone calls, and I can give my phone number, 816-806-9824. Thank you.
Hi, Leva. Welcome.
Hey, everyone. I'm Christina. This is my first time on this meeting, although I've been in program for about 5 years now. I'm sorry I missed the sponsor line
totally flaked on the time, but I'm here now and I am a sponsor. And sure, I'd love to receive calls from anyone, and I'll also call some of the newcomers. My number is 510-542-9064. Technically live in California on a writing retreat for a few months in Taos, New Mexico right now. So that's where I am. Thanks.
Hi, Christina. Welcome.
Hey, Christina. Welcome.
Hi, Christina. Welcome.
Hi, my name's Kate.
Hi, Kate. Welcome.
Hey, Kate. Welcome.
Hi, Kate.
Hi, Kate. Welcome.
And I've been in OA for quite a few years, and now it's been suggested for me. I have a temporary sponsor at the moment from house, so yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And I think I stand at the turning point.
Hi, Kate. Welcome.
Wonderful.
Welcome,
Kate.
Hi, Kate.
Welcome.
Welcome home.
Welcome, Kate.
Hi, this is Lee in California. I'm started the program in I can't remember now. I'm on day 3 of my new abstinence. Thank you.
Oh, welcome back, Lee. Welcome.
Welcome back, Lee.
Yeah.
This is good job. Kelly. This is my first HOW meeting, Kelly H. from Ohio and Northern Kentucky. And I put my name, my phone number in the chat. Thank you.
Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Loretta. I'm from Maryland, and I've been in HOW for about 14 years, but it's the first time at this meeting.
Welcome, Loretta.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Cheryl from New Mexico, and I've been in and out of OA for years, but I'm new to HOW. And I recommitted to my food. I had a health issue and got a new food plan, and I'm excited and very grateful to all of you. Thank you.
Welcome, Cheryl.
Hi, I'm Stacy. I'm from South Carolina. This is my first meeting.
Hi, Stacy.
Hi,
welcome.
Stacy. Welcome.
Hey, Stacy.
Welcome, Stacy.
Anyone else on the phone? Well, welcome to everyone. This meeting has ASL interpretation provided by state funding. We ask all deaf participants to please utilize the chat to let us know you are here. Please include the city and state in which you reside. You can also inform us by changing your username to ASL_name_state_city. Thank you. May we please have a treasurer's report?
Sorry, I'm not prepared tonight.
Do that next week then. Our seventh tradition helps this meeting provide the equipment, enhance our website, contribute to our service structure, refine the technology, develop other live OA face-to-face groups, and more. Please go to mnhowlive.org to donate. Please, I'll read the promises. Okay, we are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises?
We think not.
Amen. man. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. Big Book, pages 83 and 84. Are there any announcements? Megan.
Hey, hi guys. This is Megan in Virginia. I am one of the fellows who helps to search for leaders, or mostly speakers. We're usually remote speakers, though right now everyone's remote. So if there are people joining us today, sponsors who find that you're receiving benefit from this meeting, I invite you to return the favor and be of service by being our speaker one night in the future. We're currently looking for speakers for, I think we're out to June, so if you can look at your calendars, I know mine's pretty blank right now, maybe yours is too, and you might be willing to be of service. My phone number is 757-375-3102, and I will also put my information in the chat. Thanks a lot.
I have an announcement. Liba, I'm addicted to food in Sarasota, Florida. We have a remote OA How phone meeting on Thursday night that's looking for leaders. And that meeting is from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. every Thursday night, East Coast time. And again, my number, if you want to be of service as leaders, 816-806-9824. Thank you.
Anyone else? Literature and books, newcomer and sponsor materials are located at the virtual intergroups resource page at www.oahowphonemeetings.com. You can purchase OA books and pamphlets at bookstore.oa.org. It is now time for medallions. At HOW meetings, we recognize the milestones of recovery for those working the HOW program. All other abstinence is given a round of applause. Woohoo! Yay for abstinence. Anyone may Anyone may request a medallion by turning on your camera and unmuting your phone. So do I do the countdown, or do you just, anybody celebrating 20 years, 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 12, 13, 11, anyone celebrating 10? 18 months?
I have 18 months. This is Debbie.
Debbie.
Woohoo, Debbie.
Congratulations. Here go, Debbie. Awesome.
Oh. Debbie.
Great job.
Debbie.
Good work, Debbie.
Way to go.
Anybody else? How about 1 year? 9 months? 9 months, Michelle?
9 months.
Michelle?
9 months.
Michelle.
Woohoo.
Thank you.
How about 6 months? 3 months. 2, that's 60 days, 30 days, 30 days.
Hi, everybody. This is Anne Marie in Northern Virginia, and I have 30 days.
Woo! Anne Marie.
Anne Marie.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Awesome. That is a milestone. How about anyone here who is feeling, who has maybe you're just thinking about this recovery. You want to do something different. What you're doing is not working for you. You need a fresh start. Is there anyone here who wants to get a 24-hour medallion? It doesn't mean that you have 24 hours. It means that you want 24 hours. You want at least one day of freedom from compulsive overeating. If you're that person, raise your hand and we'll make sure you get a medallion that you can hold on to. And some of us say that if you get this medallion and you decide you want to eat, you put this in your mouth and when it dissolves, then you can go compulsively overeat. But anyway, if you want that one, that new fresh beginning, unmute yourself, turn your video on, and let us celebrate you.
My name's Nicholas, and I would like a medallion of desire myself.
Thank you. A medallion of desire. Right, Nicholas. Make sure you
have
your information in the chat box.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Welcome. Welcome. Anyone else? Doesn't mean you're joining. It just means that you want a new beginning. All right. So if you do want one and you didn't get a chance to speak up, you can put that in the chat box and we'll make sure you get that. At this point in our meeting, we ask the group to join us as we celebrate another example of the miracles that abound in OA. The stepping up portion of the meeting asks a sponsor to introduce a newcomer who has at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence, who has completed the first three steps of the program, and who is now ready to become a sponsor. At HAL meetings, new sponsors are presented with a cactus plant to signify the tough love of the program. Stick with the stickers, remember to drink your water, and reminder that you don't water down the program. Are there any step-ups? Not tonight, but keep coming back. Birthdays are celebrated for each year of continuous abstinence. At anniversaries, a candle is lit at the beginning of the meeting, and we invite the person who is celebrating an anniversary to turn on their video for the anniversary reading. Are there any anniversaries? Not tonight. Keep coming
back.
Not
tonight.
Well, we've got some coming through the pipeline. Attendees may sign up to celebrate your step-ups or anniversaries via the link on our website. I now qualify for, how much time do I have?
I think we can go 10 minutes.
10 minutes?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Hopefully we have some time for pitches at the end. Well, I will tell you a little about myself. Am I muted?
You're good.
Okay, I'm good. Okay, so I was in OA for 10 years before coming to HAL. And when I came to OA, I remember just diving in with both feet because I was at a very low point. I wasn't working. I was eating compulsively all of the time. On the way to the meeting, I had to stop at Candyland, which was on the way. I couldn't pass there without stopping. And I remember what I got. It was, I wasn't working, but I could splurge on food. I made sure I got whatever I wanted to eat. And at that time, I wanted chocolate-covered bridge nut mix. And I was eating that on the way to the meeting. And I feel like when I got to the meeting, I was high on food. And but the story that was told was so gripping, so horrifying, that I burst into tears in the meeting. And they couldn't leave because I was boo-hooing, crying, you know. So a couple people stayed back with me and let me just, snot cried because I knew that there, but by the grace of God, go I. You know, the person who told her story was you know, on Social Security, and just she looked terrible, and she had 2 weeks of recovery, and I knew that that would be my story if I didn't change my ways. And so I dove in with both feet, and I started working the program, and I figured, you know, there's 12 steps, you know, 12 steps, how long can it take to work? I couldn't understand why the two of the women that held me when I was crying, one had 18 years and the other had 21 years. And I thought, these are slow learners. There's only 12 steps. It can't possibly take that many years. And so I dove in, I start working the program, a lot of confusion because I didn't know what to eat and all of that. And, you know, I have a lot of food allergies, so I couldn't eat what they wanted, what they said to eat. But I worked hard. I remember someone asked me to sponsor them, and I was horrified because I'm like, whoa, I can't sponsor anyone. What, you know, I wouldn't know what to do. I don't know what to say. And so I think it was April. And so I was working really hard, going to meetings, staying away from sugar. And Christmas came, I went to my family and spent Christmas with them and stayed abstinent through Christmas. And then in between Christmas and New Year's, I was sitting around and I thought, hey, I did pretty good. I got through Christmas. It's been, you know, quite a while. I haven't compulsively overeaten. I must be cured. I bet I can eat a little bit now. And so I ate a little bit. And then I ate a little bit more. And then, you know the story. I was right back where I started, right back in the pit of hell. And that started, you know, my 10-year journey in OA of never getting abstinent. After 10 years, I would get better. I got back to work. My health returned somewhat. But I kept my weight down, but it was by, I was not recovered. I wasn't healed. I would constantly go to the food. I would constantly, it was binge and purge. I would not eat for a while, and then I would overeat. And then I would, you know, I tried purging. I tried, you know, laxatives. I did all kinds of things just to look like I was recovered. I was still in the rooms because I knew that I couldn't leave, but I really wasn't recovered. I really wasn't recovered. And, but I ended up getting well enough to get married. I got married and I had two children. And all of a sudden, the games that I played with food stopped working. I started gaining and gaining. I couldn't stop eating. Nothing I tried, no matter what I did, I could not stop eating. And my body started to break down. My cholesterol was 311. My kidneys went into failure. I was sick. And my mother said to me, who's going to take care of the children? And my mother-in-law was having to come help me. But I couldn't stop eating. And I remember one of my last big binges. I was sick. I couldn't take care of the kids. So my mother-in-law was over helping me and I was up in the bed. And my husband is not a compulsive overeater. And he would, every day, he would take 3 Oreo cookies to work with him. And I'm up in the bed and all I could think about is the Oreo cookies in the cabinet. and I knew where my mother was, my mother-in-law was. She was in the kitchen, and the Oreo cookies were in the kitchen. And in order for me to get to the Oreo cookies, I would have to go by my mother-in-law. I don't know where my children were, but I know where she was, and I know where the cookies were. And I don't know, I was so sick I couldn't take care of my kids, but I dragged my butt up and I went in there and got a handful of Oreo cookies. I went back and got back in the bed. I ate the Oreo cookies because I thought if I just got a few, that would be enough. That's the story I told myself over and over again. Just a little bit won't hurt, just a little bit. I'll just have a few, just a couple, just, you know. And so I get back in the bed and there's still more cookies down in that cabinet. And I could not think of anything but the Oreo cookies, my mother-in-law in the kitchen. I didn't think about where the kids were. All I wanted, I just had to get those cookies. And I got right back up, I went back down, and I got another handful. And to this very day, I still remember my mother-in-law looking at me when I reached in there and got those cookies. And it was a look of, I don't know, I just felt such shame and such depravity. And it wasn't long after that, that I came to Howe, but I didn't come straight in. I had to be pushed in. There's a story in the big book on Doctor's Opinion where Dr. Silkworth tells a story about a man who was just in a hopeless state, and he'd made his own diagnosis and he decided that there was no hope for him. He went and hid in a barn, a deserted barn, ready to determine to die. But he was rescued by a search party, and in a desperate condition, he was brought to Dr. Silkworth. That story, I can identify with the man, because it says further down that his alcoholic problem was so complex and his desperation so great that we felt his only hope would be through what we called moral psychology. Now, I don't know a lot about moral psychology, but I know what it means to be, to have my food problem be so complex and my desperation so great that we felt the only hope. That's the hope. There was hope, even though I was desperate, even though my problems were so complex, even though I was in despair and humiliated and disparaging, there was hope. But it didn't come so much because I had the hope. Someone came and rescued me. My sponsor, my OA sponsor at the time, called me and she said, "Sharon, there's something, there's a new meeting in town. It's called a Howe meeting. And people we know are going and they're getting recovered. And there's a light in their eyes," because at that time they hadn't lost a whole lot of weight yet, but there was a light in their eyes. And she said, "I know if you go, you too will get recovered. You can get recovered if you go to this meeting." And I had every excuse. And the main, who's gonna watch the kids? I don't have anyone to watch the kids. And so she said, finally, she called again and she said, "Look, I'm gonna come over and I'll watch the kids while you go to the meeting." And so I asked my husband if he would watch the kids. I had not asked him yet. And he said, yes, he would watch them. So she didn't even have to come. But that's how my mind was in the food. I couldn't find solutions. I had to be found and pulled in. And I believe it was my higher power that led me to this recovery. And no matter how you got here, it was your higher power answering your call for help. And there is help in these rooms, because from the day I came in to this very day, I haven't had to fall into that hopeless, desperate state once again. And that's what happened to this man. And they said, when you see him today, you wouldn't be able to tell that he's the same person. And that's the way I feel about myself. My life has been transformed. I have hope. I have a reason to get up. Even during this time where we're isolated, I have activities to do. I have meetings to be on. I have people to call. I'm being of service. I'm helping. I have a life, and my dreams are coming true. I'm able to know that things will get better and better. Whereas when I was in the food, my life just kept going down and down. I had no bottom too low. But now I feel like the spiral is going up and up and up. And that can happen for you too. And I am happy that you're a part of this meeting and that we're doing this together. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Sharon.
Thank you, Sharon.
You're welcome. And now our speaker is Kathy C., who will qualify for 20 minutes.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Kathy.
Okay. So I'm Kathy C., a compulsive overeater from Chicago. I'm going to minimize myself.
Welcome.
Hi, Kathy. Welcome.
Hi, Kathy.
Thank you. Okay. Let me just cover my face so I don't get sidetracked by that. Okay. So I'm really happy to be here, really grateful. I'm very nervous to talk on this Zoom meeting. It's just weirding me out a little bit. I'm kind of nervous. But anyways, I know that this is a service I can do, and I'm grateful that I have service to do today. So I'm to tell my story, what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. So so what it was like, I think my compulsive overeating started a lot when I was in high school and junior high. I remember in sixth grade, I had a picture in the newspaper. I was this tiny little person doing a gymnastics routine. And I remember I got in the community paper, and I remember looking at that picture being so embarrassed that I was so, so big. I was so muscular as a little girl because I was a tomboy. And I just felt so much shame and embarrassment at that picture. I still have the picture in the cutting from the newspaper. And when I look back, I'm like, wow. And I was this tiny little person now looking back. So I was just, couldn't see who I was as a person. High school, I remember just coming home and eating bags of cookies, boxes of things, making cake, eating the whole thing. And my friends would come over, we'd overeat, we'd eat all the box of cookies. And I had four siblings. They're like, who ate all the cookies? And it was very embarrassing. And I just couldn't stop eating though, junk food. I don't remember being that when I was so little, but like puberty around that time. So I went to a Catholic high school, and I left all my public grade school friends. I went to a whole new school. I think I was using food just to get through that big transition. Always felt I was fat. Always felt I wasn't enough. I did my first diet at age 15, Weight Watchers. My mom would drive me there. She'd write me, I think it was $7 at the time. She'd write me the $7 check, and I'd hand it into the lady. Very embarrassed and telling him when I was on Weight Watchers. So just not really feeling good about myself, not feeling comfortable in my own skin. My brothers used to call me thunder thighs. So I always just felt like I was fat. And I wasn't. I just weigh 5 pounds less today than I weighed in high school. So I was actually at a goal weight, a little bit high end of my goal weight. But I thought I was so fat. And it was just such a weird way I looked at myself. I went to college, drank a lot. Typical college experience for me growing up in this big, huge Irish Catholic family, drinking, overeating. So I just continued that at college. Then when I was a senior in college, I read a magazine article saying, what are the best diets to keep the weight off? And they listed Overeaters Anonymous. Because I so many times had lost 20 pounds, 30 pounds. And then I knew my problem wasn't getting it off. It was easy to lose the weight. I didn't know how to keep it off. So when I read that article, I'm like, oh, this is what I need. So came home from college and I found an OA meeting by my house. And that was when I was 21 years old. Today I'm 53 and I never stopped going. And thank you, God, that that has been a miracle in my life that I've never stopped going. Haven't always had abstinence. Really didn't have abstinence until I joined HOW when I was age 40. But this feeling, I walked into the room and people just accepted me for who I was. And they didn't criticize me. They didn't try to talk me out of my feelings. They didn't try to say, Kathy, you weren't thinking that. That's not what you thought. That's not how you feel. No one just, I used to see my dad like explode in rage. And then everyone just acted like it was normal. And it was so scary. And I'm like, did I just not see what I saw? So I love my family to death, but it was a chaotic life growing up there. It was no predictability with my parents. So at these meetings, everyone just sit and stare and listen to me and nod their heads. It was the first time I ever just felt accepted. And that's the greatest gift I got from OA HOW. People accepted me how I am today. Okay, so that was when I was 21. Okay, then I traveled. After college, I traveled a little bit around the world, and I started going to OA meetings in Europe. And I was doing a fourth and fifth. I didn't have a sponsor, but I was doing meetings, and I was able to reveal some deep, dark secrets that I had that I thought, I will never tell anybody any of this because it's so humiliating and so embarrassing. But I found this person who I was able to give a fourth and fifth step to. And I knew I would never see that person again because I would fly back to Chicago. So that was another gift that God had given to me, this gift that I could reveal some things I needed to get out, but I wouldn't do it to anyone in America because I was too embarrassed. So I knew enough from my OA program that they said, we're only as sick as our secrets. So I knew I had to get this stuff out. Okay, fast forward a little bit. I got married. I feel grateful that I met my husband. Well, I met my husband when I was 26. So I had been in program for about 5 years. And so I picked a healthy person. Another miracle from my life and this program. Not that we haven't had our ups and downs, but he wasn't an addict. He was healthy. I was 5 years healthier than if I would have met him when I was 21. And so we got married. We have 5 children. I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom and have a big family. I came from a big family. I wanted a big family. So we talked about that before we got married. I'd be the stay-at-home parent. He'd go out and work. So it was great. I had everything I wanted. But yet I was miserable. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the life I dreamed of having. Why am I so miserable? And I used to say in my head, if you had my life, you would eat too. How can anyone just handle this life? It's too crazy. It's too chaotic. And, but it was so baffling to me because it's exactly what I wanted. I got what I wanted and I was still miserable. That was a really, really scary place to be. I was screaming at my kids. I had 5 kids in 10 years. So I had a 10-year-old and a baby. And I was, you know, screaming at the poor older kids and kind of what the other speaker said, just focusing on food and like, how can I get away to get my food? So I went to a regular meeting, OA meeting, and there was this woman there who was overweight. She was definitely overweight, But she looked so beautiful. She had makeup on. Her hair was nice. She was dressed so pretty. And she just seemed so peaceful and calm. I'm like, how can this lady be happy when she's overweight? I just couldn't say how anyone could be happy if they were fat. And then she told me, I asked her after the meeting, I'm like, what are you doing? You just look so peaceful. I didn't say my opinion, but she goes, I do a different part of the program called How. And that's how I got introduced to How. This beautiful woman who, she wasn't that overweight, but she still had weight to lose. And then I was like, that's what I want. I want to be happy how I am today, not when this happens, when that happens. So that's how I got to be introduced to OA How. When I was 40 years old, after I had my last baby, I was really afraid to do OA How. I thought I could never weigh and measure in front of people. I thought I couldn't call someone every single day. But anyways, after I had my fifth child, I was well over 200 pounds and I was supposed to be losing about 60 to 70 pounds. And all of a sudden in 3 weeks, I gained 18 pounds, driving my kids to school, putting everyone in the car, dropping the older kids off, bringing the little kids back home. And I would just stop at the drive-thru twice a day and get all this crap. Gained 18 pounds in 3 weeks. So then I'm like, I'll do whatever OA How says. And from that point on, I have done to the best of my ability what How has asked me to do, what I volunteered to do because the following the guidelines. So that brings me to recovery and another miracle that I have not gone back to sugar since I started. I officially started in May of 2007. Like I said, my abstinence date is just from last November. I've been in program for a long, long time, been in How for like about 11 years or so. And I tricked myself into overeating. I lied to myself. I lied to my sponsor. This was one of my slips. It was so gradual. I knew that I had to weigh 1 ounce of bread, but my new sponsor suggested, why don't you just have one slice of bread? And I knew at that point I should have told her, you know what? I've already tried that experiment. It doesn't work for me at all. I need to weigh and measure my 1 ounce of bread. But if you give me an inch, I will take a mile. And this is no way blaming my sponsor at all. This is me knowing what I needed to do, and I chose not to do it. So all of a sudden, one slice of bread got to be a bigger slice of bread, got to be a roll at a restaurant. Bigger, bigger, bigger. But it happened so gradually that I was like tricking myself. And then finally, my dad passed away this past June. That was really sad and traumatic. And so then I started eating even bigger slices of one slice of bread. I laugh at myself because after 11 years, I would think, how could I have done that? But I came totally clean with my sponsor. Of course, I had to get a new sponsor, but it was such a relief to like let this big secret out again and to be honest and forthcoming. And she didn't reprimand me or yell at me. She's like, she goes, gosh, Kathy, she said to me, if that was me, I would have been face food in the sugar. So another miracle, I didn't go back to full-blown binging my brains out. Of course, I got a new sponsor the next day, and I've been very cleanly eating since November 19th. And so with a humble heart, I say thank you, God, for this program that I still came back. And because when I first joined in May of 2007, a friend of mine said, Kathy, I know someone who said they're just going to overeat for the weekend because it was a special weekend for that person. And she's going to hop back on it on Monday. And they said it took her 25 years to come back. I always remembered that story. I knew if I left, I wouldn't be able to come back. So I never wanted to overeat or to eat those big slices of bread, but it just happened so sneakily, gradually. And I kept lying to myself and my hookups and my outreaches. But I'm just so grateful to come clean. Yeah, no, not even using my dad's death as an excuse, but I was sad. And it's not an excuse, but if I look back of what happened, I could see a little bit that I was just under a lot of feelings and feelings. Ugh, feelings are hard for compulsive eaters. We don't want to, I don't want to feel, I just want everything to be happy. Some other gifts that I got, I used to feel stuck all the time. Like any decision I make would, I used to say, I am stuck in my life. I'm so stuck. I'm between a rock and a hard spot. If I say, if I want to make this decision, I will hit the wall. If I make that decision, I'm going to hit the wall. Like, I just felt like there were so many times I was so stuck. Thank you, God, that I am not stuck today. I have choices, decisions. I have tons of all of you guys to talk to and to help me live and work through my life today. So I rarely feel stuck anymore. And that feeling had been with me for a long, long time. I used to have, oh, and with the stuck feeling, I had this image that I was in this glass house and I couldn't get out. And then it occurred to me one day that I had the key in my pocket. Even though I was locked in this glass house, I just always had the key to come out. And the key for me is, you know, the 12-step program. What else? My sponsor reminded me that we hear in the meeting every day or every week that when we go, we refrain from negative thinking. So she's like, it's not an option, Kathy. It's not like, oh, if you feel like it. She goes, no, that's one of our guidelines. We refrain from negative thinking. So I really practice that very rigorously and very consciously because I could easily go into the negative thinking. So that's just something I write in my bathroom mirror. I write in my car. I write by my food scale. Refrain from negative thinking or think positively. I have to really practice that because it can overtake me. Let's see here. What else did I want to say? I love myself today. I don't think I look fat. I have a healthy body image of how I see myself. That's a miracle. I can accept myself completely today. I don't have to be more than I am. So I have the promises. Oh, that's what I wanted to say. I have the promises. I have a new freedom and a new happiness. So 7 or 8 years into OA How, I was not feeling the promises, even though I had been abstinent in OA How for 7 years. And someone suggested to me that maybe I switched addictions. So I always tell newcomers, make sure if you're going to put down the food, you're not going to pick up something else. And that was my problem. I picked up something else. So I had to join another How program to help me let go of that substance too. And so that, now I feel like I have the promises. I would be so baffled. I'm like, gosh, I'm not eating sugar. I'm following my food plan. Why don't I have this peaceful, happy life that the promises promised to me? And it was because I had picked up another addiction. Okay, so I have 2 minutes left. And I'm just so grateful that during this shelter in place, I have my program. My life hasn't changed so much. I have my 12-step programs. I'm still doing all my calls. So I feel really grateful that I have the structure and discipline from this program that keeps my life running on a daily basis during this time where everything is different for me and my children and my husband. What else? So, and another thing, OA How has helped me to let go of people pleasing. I really want to please my higher power. More than anything, I don't want to please people, and people pleasing was such a stronghold on me. So I'm really grateful for that too. And I'm grateful, like I said, just to be here to do service and to share. And I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thanks, Kathy.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. The floor is now open for 3-minute pitches or sharing. In How meetings, we share our experience, strength, and hope. No one is prohibited from sharing, but we ask that you focus on the solution. All pitches should be of a positive nature in which you share your growth and recovery. All other issues can be worked out over the phone or after the meeting. Would someone care to pitch? Let's see how much time we have. Oh, I turned my phone off. Would someone care to pitch? Please turn on your camera and unmute yourself. Anybody?
Hey, all, this is Megan. I could pitch for a minute if that.
All right, go okay. ahead, Megan.
I wanted to thank Kathy for her share. It really struck me. I completely identified when she was sharing about having this life that you always wanted, having everything that, you know, you were trying to get, and yet being completely miserable and in despair. And that was me too. And just didn't know how I got that way, didn't understand what was happening. And, you know, just so grateful today for this program that there was an answer, there was a solution, that you all were here when I finally was ready to hear it. And grateful today. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Megan. Well, I want to thank you for allowing me to be your leader for this meeting today. I also thank all of those who participated, especially our speaker, Kathy, who offered so much of herself.
May we please thank you, Kathy.
Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thanks, Kathy.
Awesome. May we please have a reading of Just for Today. Unmute yourself.
Okay. Yes.
There you go.
Hi, I'm Anne-Marie, and I am a compulsive overeater.
Welcome.
Just for today.
Anne-Marie.
Thank
Welcome.
You.
Welcome.
Just for today, I will exercise my soul in three ways. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least two things I do not want to do just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable, will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody but myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not be able to follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from two pests, hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all to myself and relax. During this half hour, sometime, I will try to get a better perspective of my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. Especially will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to the world, so the world gives to me.
Thank you, Anne-Marie.
Thank you, Anne-Marie.
Thank you, Anne-Marie.
Thank you.
We would also like to thank our skilled interpreters for helping us to reach even more people who struggle with this disease.
Woohoo.
Thank you. To those who are still new to the program, we remind you that all that was said here today should safely remain here as we respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. For you that following the program would get your weight off or on, abstinence will remove the cravings, our way of life will remove compulsion in time, and give you contentment in all areas of life. After a moment of meditation, will those who wish to please join in saying the Serenity Prayer. Those attending virtually, please unmute yourselves. Let's pray for those who are still suffering. All right. God.
Thanks, everybody, for their service.
Thanks, Kathy.
Welcome to the newcomers.
Thanks, Sharon. Yeah.
Thanks, Howard.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Howard.
Thanks, Howard.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye. Have Thank a good you. Week. Bye.
Stay safe.